97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tony Colombo. I am with my partner, Bo Matthews.
How you doing, Tony?
There he is. Hey, Bo, how's it going?
I'm good, man.
Producer Chad Ellis is here as well. Great to see you guys. A little bit of weather earlier this weekend, and a lot going on. How you doing?
No snowmageddon, so
no,
I think
no
we're good.
Snowmageddon. No snowmageddon.
It's fine. I mean, you know, we're getting to the bleak part of the winter, and so we're already talking about a quick trip out to Vegas, just a thaw.
Do you want to hear something depressing that I, in 41 years, never realized, and I'm almost glad I didn't? Groundhog Day, which is coming up in a couple weeks, is the halfway point of the winter.
So we're not there yet?
We're not even halfway done.
And it's not been a bad year. But
no, but it just wears on you.
You know, for those people that have lived in other parts of the country, I grew up in Minnesota a lot of my youth, and so snow's not really a bother. It is pretty hilarious that if there's a threat of rain, like we had this past week, freezing rain, I mean, the snow days are just popping up left and right. We never had a snow day.
Oh.
Never.
Don't even get me started.
I just did. I just got you started.
There was one day earlier this week, I guess it was Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and they said there's could be a little bit of ice at night, you know, maybe an inch of snow, and it wasn't anything bad, and they didn't call off school, but I was certain they were going to. They just call them, they get called on. Just the forecast now. It doesn't even have to snow for it to actually for them to cancel school.
I don't have small children in school.
I do.
But how do you, I know, and that's why I'm asking, how do you juggle your schedule when there's a snow day?
Yeah, it stinks.
So often, you know?
Right now we're lucky because we have a 16-year-old as well. So if they all, who's in high school, and so if they all get called off, she just is there.
Right.
And we can leave. But that's that's something an advantage that we have, but a lot of parents don't.
Yeah, you just made it to that threshold where you have now your own personal Uber to run errands if you need.
A built-in babysitter.
Right.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people don't. A lot of people have kids that are in elementary school, and if they find out at 5:30 in the morning that they don't have school that day, somebody's not going to work,
right?
You know, or somebody's got, or you're making phone calls and trying to find grandparents and things like that.
I do not know how people do it. I really don't. I know this is not talking about Second Amendment guns or anything. I just don't know how parents can do it and juggle that and keep their job, because they may get a snow day, but guess what, Tony? You got to be on the air today.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there's no. You can't say, sorry, I've got kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some jobs, I guess you can do that, but how many jobs are you hopping because you got to be there
and
for
I'm
your
not,
kids?
Look, I don't want the buses driving in, you know, on icy roads and in 6 inches of snow, but sometimes, to use a gun term, sometimes they pull the trigger a little early.
I think you're right. They're making that decision on a forecast, not what's really happened. And I love a lot of meteorologists. I know a lot of them in TV news. Where they can't tell you what's going to happen. Love Dave Murray. Can't tell you what's going to happen. He can only tell you what has happened.
Right.
Officially. So, anyway.
Yeah. No, but it's been an interesting, it has been a fairly mild winter.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go. February is the worst.
So
it just feels like you think you're almost through it, but you're really not almost through it.
And that's why we're thinking about a quick trip to Vegas, just go thaw out a little bit, you know. And we're not talking about Second Amendment rights and laws and things like that right now, but we are talking about the great outdoors. So I guess it qualifies.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
nice
right.
Nice save.
Speaking of the great outdoors, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and then I walk in and you are looking at it and talking about it, and that is the situation with feral hogs in the state of Missouri. And how they are getting out of control. It's something that we've talked about here on the show in the past. But I wanted to get into that a little bit. And, of course, if we are going to talk about hunting on this show. It's...
And hunting hogs.
Yeah.
This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory is a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. You got an AR you want to get some accessories for? They're the guys. You want to get an AR? They're the guys. Online, you can find them at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
You're ready to become the hog hunter.
Well, because I see
that... I think there's a show there. Great Hog Hunter.
Oh, absolutely. Somebody's already copyrighted
right?
it since you just said it.
that's a show.
We have been talking about bear and elk on this show quite a bit over the last several weeks. And just in the last week or so, the feral hog thing, which has been happening, a lot of people know about it. There was a big deal in Jeff City last week about people protesting, not doing it on public lands. And it just amazes me because they are so big and dangerous. Have you heard of Hogzilla? This thing is 12 foot long and 1,200 pounds. It's a hog, a wild hog. Seriously. Forget Bigfoot.
Chad,
we got Hogzilla.
This whole show, Chad has had his head down. He's like prepping the next segment, making sure everybody's right. We're going to be talking to John and Jake from Osage County Guns, who are at SHOT Show right now, which is a big deal.
Right.
Chad's probably coordinating with them. You just said a Hogzilla.
His head just popped up.
And his head snapped.
Like a prairie dog. No.
Like, what is this guy talking about? So there's just one?
Well, no, there's several. There's several extremely large ones.
So it's Hogzilla's.
Go to YouTube. You'll see. It's crazy. But it's amazing. If you look at a map of how they reproduce, the feral hogs that have come from Arkansas halfway through the state of Missouri and on their way to the border of Iowa here before long, they are breeding like cats or mice. They just breed that fast.
And they're dangerous.
They are.
These feral hogs are a nuisance, but they're not like a nuisance like rats. They're a nuisance in that sense that they destroy things and they're bad for the environment, but they also are dangerous.
Yeah.
They can hurt you.
Just a week ago, the Mingus Duck Reservoir, someplace out in western Missouri,
mm-hmm.
north of Kansas City, they
I
were going
to start to make up words.
They were going to, no, it's true. Hogzilla.
Mingus Hogzilla.
Yeah, no, the Mingus Duck Reservoir or whatever, they're going to shut that down so they can do aerial hunting from helicopters of these things. And
there's a show here. The Bounty Hunter, Bo the Hog
Move over,
hunter.
Dog.
Yeah.
I've never been a big game hunter.
I'll be on your team.
I'm telling you, aerial hunting, if we can get an opportunity to fly in a helicopter and shoot guns at something, and we're helping the community, we're helping the land, I would probably sign up for that, and I probably wouldn't feel
How could you
about
not?
It. I know.
What do you mean probably? The opportunity to shoot guns out of a helicopter?
Yeah, that is true. So I always bring this up because when you went to Disney World and left us all behind,
yep.
and you went and had a great time at the happiest place on earth, I had my buddy Chef Jason McGraw from mm-hmm. Hotel St. Louis come over with unbelievable food. We need to invite him in again. But he's a guy that I reached out to this week to find out, okay, you have all these feral hogs. Can you eat them? Or do they just have to discard them or, you know, whatever, turn them into fish food? He goes, no. He says it's kind of like really tough meat because it's like a deer. They're really strong. They're very agile. They move a lot. There's a lot of muscle. If you dress them out right, he says, and you tenderize them right, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, you know what? I think we've talked about this with the Asian carp situation as well.
Yeah.
There's an industry. Nobody should be going hungry anywhere right now when we have this Asian carp situation all over the country. Where they can't catch them and kill them fast enough. Feral hog populations are continuing to rise, and they're spreading all across the state. I saw a map the other day of where the feral hog population...
Yep.
Yeah, we looked at it.
Yep.
Where the feral hog population in the state of Missouri was, I think, 10 or 20 years ago, and where it is now.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And it's just growing and spreading, and they're moving to parts of the country that they've never been in before.
And
there's an industry here to catch and kill these animals and these fish, turn them into food, because you can eat the Asian carp as well.
And Tim Shelsvik, I think, was the one that said they're
uh-huh.
actually delicious
yeah.
if you clean them right.
If you prepare them correctly, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's fascinating to me to see how many there are. And like you said, it's a great source of protein. I'm a huge, again, not a big deer hunter, but there's the harvest, the Share the Harvest.
Yeah, yep.
Hunters get their tags full, they can get another tag and then donate that meat, which I think is a fantastic program.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, who doesn't love pork?
Right.
Except Chad,
right.
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, he's just not going to eat. I don't think, I think Chad's prepared to eat anything that's called a hogzilla.
I don't think that's just going to be
the
stuffed
12-foot hog.
That'll be put at the zoo or something.
Let's do it. I'm in. Let's me and you. We can. It can be your show. I'll just be on the team. Bo the hog hunter.
Yeah.
And Chad, are you joining us? Are you on
sure? Why not?
There he is. Chad's
well, Chef Jason,
I'll be a cameraman
or
something.
Say it again.
I'll be a cameraman or something.
Yeah.
He's part of the staff.
Chef Jason, he just went hog hunting last week, so he's got real world experience. So
right.
He would have to be on this team because he could not only help us, you know, figure out how to shoot them, whatever. He could help cook them.
There you go.
Or he could cook them.
This is a real show.
This is a real show.
I know.
Look out.
We need to put it together. speaking of real shows, SHOT Show, there's a transition, is happening it happened this week. Jake and John from Osage County Guns, great sponsors of the show, have been there all week. This is a big deal. This is like the auto show on steroids.
Computer,
for the gun.
Consumer electronics show, any of those big shows out there.
Yeah, for the gun industry. There's the manufacturers introducing new guns and new accessories and just introducing all kinds of and rolling out things for the new year and what they're working on in the industry. And so SHOT Show is always a big deal. And John and Jake are down there, and we're going to talk to them in just a few minutes.
That would be a show.
Going on.
Yeah. We should go out there.
Yeah. And a quick reminder, if you miss anything on this show or you just want to hear it again, there's lots of ways to do so. You can download our podcast in very many places, but the best place, I think, is the radio.com app, which is absolutely free. Download the radio.com app, and you can stream the station 24/7. You can take advantage of the Radio Rewind feature, which gives you the opportunity to rewind live radio, just like you're watching your DVR at home. And you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the radio station. And again, it is all absolutely free, so you don't miss anything, especially about what we're about to hear from Jake and John and the guys at Osage County Guns about SHOT Show 2020. We're going to talk to those guys when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with my co-host Bo Matthews and our producer Chad Ellis. And as I mentioned in that last segment, our friends from Osage County Guns, one of the great sponsors of this show, John and Jake, who have been on many times, are joining us live. They are our SHOT Show 2020 correspondents, and they are there as we speak. Fellas, great to talk with you. How's it going?
Hello. It's excellent, but we're tired.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been a long, fun week for you guys. We were in the last segment explaining a little bit to maybe people who don't know what SHOT Show is, what is happening down there. But you guys can do a better job of that than I can. So before we get into the details and specifics of what is happening down there, just tell people what SHOT Show is and why it's such a big deal every year for the gun industry.
Sure. So SHOT Show is the largest expo within the industry, and it takes place every January about the same week. And for the last number of years, it's been held repetitively in Las Vegas. So location hasn't changed, but it's the opportunity for manufacturers to display, you know, nearly their full product lines, new releases, and kind of showcase updates and things that are kind of happening within the industry. We see a lot of, you know, new releases starting to kind of slip out beforehand, but this is the opportunity to put hands on all this new product and see it in person and really try to take in, you know, everything that's kind of evolving within the industry. So it's here at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas, and it's hard to describe the size of this show, and even just spouting out statistics doesn't do it any justice until you've walked or for two or three days in a row, and the body is aching because you don't realize how little exercise you do compared to a job.
And I would imagine that all the, you know, all the major manufacturers are out there, obviously, and they're all really, you know, bringing it, trying to show off and trying to show why they are more advanced and better than all their competitors out there. So I'm sure you guys are getting a chance to really see. I mean, how competitive is it with the big names in manufacturing? You know, the Glocks and the SIGs and the Smith and Wesson and, you know, and all these guys. How competitive is it, and how much is SHOT Show like the chance to really try to get a leg up, or you know, show how advanced you are against your competition?
It's a really good opportunity for everybody to showcase what they have. So when you go into the main room at SHOT Show, it's huge, and the first thing you see is the amount of money that these manufacturers have put into their booths. They're huge. They're two stories. They have multiple offices.
Wow.
They have every, you know, depending on the size of their line, you know, you've got the Klock's booth and SIG and Smith & Wesson are just huge. And they have one of every single firearm that they manufacture on display, with the catalogs and the manufacturer's employees there to explain the product and what's new, why it's new, how they've changed it. And so it's funny, when you go to the show for several years in a row, you kind of see an underlining theme where everybody's booths are getting a little bigger, and they're trying to overtake the space that they have to make it. you can't even see across the whole room. It's just nothing but manufacturers' booths and signs, and it's just the fixtures and their booths alone is quite impressive. Then you start digging into the product lines and it's everybody's out here to show that, you know, they've got what it takes and that they've got everything that you want.
So, hey, Jake, with the displays being so big, you said two stories tall and stuff like that, and they're showing everything that they make. How do they show off like the newest model of whatever firearm they're offering now? Do they make it a bigger model?
So usually they have it right on the front entrance of their booth, and they'll have maybe six or seven of the same gun. Because there's so many people, there are just thousands and thousands of dealers here and media individuals. And so you sometimes have to stand in line for quite a while just to get your hands on, you know, hey, this is our new gun. There's six of them on one table for you to kind of play with and test the triggers and test the actions and the slides. And so they'll put those forefront, or they'll have one fixture that's dedicated to new product. And then in the background, they've got all the stuff that they've, you know, had for a few years, and calling out new versus, you know, the standard existing products. So
what are some of the things that have impressed you guys the most this year? Any standouts?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one individual product that's a standout. The thing that's been really fun for this show is kind of going back to the grassroots of the manufacturers getting back to doing more engineering new R&D work, where the past few years the show has really been same gun, new color. Now you're starting to see manufacturers that have never made a rimfire coming out with 22 pistols or new 22 bolt action rifles. That's a new market for them. So they're getting kind of back into the game, where I think the industry itself is getting a little stagnant and bored with the same gun, different color. And now we're needing to refresh the manufacturer. They want to get their name, Colt, you know, coming back out with the old tested and proven Python, to, you know, some of the smaller companies like Tactical Solutions, has been an incredible company with really high-end 22 rifles, semi-automatic. They come out with a really nice bolt-action little 22 hunting rifles. They're all stepping up their game. You got new companies, more carbon fiber barrels and lightweight rifles with cartridges that shoot much further, and the cartridges themselves and the calibers are more proficient. The way that they use the powder and the bullets, you can shoot further and more accurately. And then in the hunting world, you get some more effective on game.
Now, is there ever an opportunity for you guys to get out and actually shoot out in the desert, out in on the outskirts of Las Vegas?
Yeah. Or are there ranges set up inside the expo anywhere?
There's no ranges within the convention center here at SHOT. However, on Monday, they do what's called Range Day. And so there's multiple ranges around Las Vegas, mostly in the outskirts. And so the manufacturers are, you know, kind of spread across those ranges.
Nice.
Big Sound
actually takes up one whole range. And so if you were going to go look at SIG products, you'd go to one range. Mm. And then the large ones where, you know, maybe a couple dozen manufacturers have bays. And so you can move around those ranges and put hands on products. This year we opted not to go to the range day, just because, you know, we've had a lot of opportunities in the past to put hands on many of these firearms. And the other downside to the range day is that they're becoming so popular that there's long lines, and you kind of stand in line. If it's a hot new product, you could be in line potentially 30 minutes or an hour waiting to shoot that firearm,
right,
and you get a max of 5 rounds in it. So, you know, if your time is important, you kind of have to make the decision whether or not you go there, or you encourage the reps after the shows to bring their samples to you.
Right.
And then you get private hands-on time with kind of no limits.
It's literally like the Disney World of the gun industry. I mean, that's exactly like what you just described is exactly Disney World. Like, you really want to ride the Tower of Terror, but it's got a 90 minute wait. So if you really want to do that really bad, then you're going to have to pass on something else and kind of budget your time while you're there. For people that go ahead, John.
I was going to say, there are a couple other events that happen during the evenings at the show, and those are also kind of out in the desert. The manufacturers have private, they call them parties. They're kind of show off opportunities. And there's a few that we've gone to in the past where you go, you can shoot some of those firearms. You know, they have food trucks and food catered, but they do a big shoot where there's like 3 or 4 miniguns set up, and then they're just literally spraying. This year I saw a video, and they actually had a helicopter fly in with a minigun on it, shooting from the air to the ground at one of the targets. It's impressive. And obviously they're concerned about safety, so you're nowhere near the firearms, those miniguns, or, you know, the targets on that range.
There's a store in Vegas years ago I went to, I don't know if it's still there, called the Gun Store. Have you guys been to that?
I have, and there's
of course they have. I was thinking to myself, no, what are you talking about? I haven't been to the, and of course Jake's like, yeah, I've been there. I've been to every gun store in the country.
That was where I got to shoot a saw, 600 rounds a minute.
Wow.
Come on. And I was just going to suggest, it's kind of like, hey, don't forget to go see Carrot Top. Don't forget to go see the gun show or the gun store.
In years past, and I didn't happen to really notice much this year, but in years past, you couldn't go 50 feet in the Las Vegas airport without seeing billboards for the gun store.
No kidding.
I didn't pay much attention this time through, but in the past, I mean, you literally could not miss their ads.
You mentioned shooting from the sky before the last segment. Bo is putting together a new television show.
Am I now?
And a team to go feral hog hunting from helicopters in Missouri because of the problem that we're having here. You guys want to be on the team?
I am in.
That was Jake. I knew Jake would say I'm in.
They're both in. That was John.
No, I think John's staying back at the store.
No. We're all getting on the helicopters, and you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter. It's going to be Bo the Hog Hunter, and we're going to all be his team. We're gonna do another segment with the guys from Osage County Guns here in just a second. So we got plenty more to talk to them about SHOT Show. Before we take this first break, though, what's happening at you guys are obviously, you know, having fun at SHOT Show, but what's happening at the store at Osage County Guns?
So we've got some of the new products starting to trickle in, and they're not sitting around the shelves too long. So we had some Ruger 5.7s come in. I mentioned that last time we were in the studio with you, and those have been just insanely hot. Everybody wants them for the price point. So those have come in and gone right back out, but we've got a ton on order. We've got the Colt Pythons. Everybody's wanting those. We're getting, you know, dozens of phone calls every day. We've got those on order. A lot of SIG's new products are starting to hit the shelves already. So if you're a SIG fan, you know, we've got that reputation for SIG's line. And we've already started to see a lot of their new 2020 models cycling in. And then they've actually had a few new releases here, too. So over the upcoming, you know, 2-3 months, there will be more new products rolling in. And the other great thing about SHOT is we've had some opportunities to get some deals. So in the next, I would say, month, we're going to have some great sales because of some of the promotions we were able to take advantage of here at the show.
That's fantastic. And of course, OsageCountyGuns.com. You can always check out what's happening there. But as we always say, nothing does that store justice than going out there and seeing it for yourself. A massive 6,000 square foot retail store, Osage County Guns in Wright City. Got to get out there and check it out. We need to take a break, but we are going to keep John and Jake on the line. They are at SHOT Show in Vegas, and we're going to continue talking about that when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Wow. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and Bo Matthews in studio and joining us on the phone from SHOT Show are our friends John and Jake from Osage County Guns. We are going to continue this discussion with them from SHOT Show. Big, huge, the biggest probably gun show of the year, really sets the tone every year for what's happening in the industry. And we were just talking off the air a little bit. We're going to actually, after the show ends here today, we are going to record something with John and Jake for the podcast. So we're going to continue this discussion and learn more about what's happening out there at SHOT Show. And you'll be able to, if you download the podcast of the show already, thank you very much. You can do so every week. In fact, we release the podcast of this show before it airs. Of course, you can hear this show on Saturdays on 97.1, on Sundays on Camo X, but the podcast is actually up every Friday, so you can take it with you all weekend. And if you're already downloading the podcast, radio.com app or wherever else you get it from, there'll be another podcast for you this week. It'll be
a podcast exclusive.
Yeah, there'll be a podcast exclusive where we'll be talking more about SHOT Show with John and Jake. So you'll have two podcasts to download this week instead of one. So that's really cool.
For those that are hold the Second Amendment very dear to them, it really is about sharing this information. So we really encourage you to share the podcast with fellow like-minded people, because sometimes you won't hear this information on any other place but this show.
And the idea for the podcast was we record this show right before the weekend, and the idea was to not wait and release the podcast until after the show aired, which was kind of traditional radio thinking.
Yeah.
But we know that a lot of our listeners, a lot of the people that like this show, are maybe they are out enjoying the great outdoors on the weekends, and they want the podcast. They want to hear what we're talking about, you know, on their time while they're out doing their thing. So that's why we're making the podcast available.
It's
early.
All about on demand.
And now you have two. Now you'll have a second one because we're going to talk to these guys even more. So, like I said, John and Jake are on the phone with us at SHOT Show in Vegas. I do want to touch base on a couple of stories that are happening that are related to gun rights and Second Amendment rights and that sort of stuff. But before we jump into that, we were talking about SHOT Show and what a big deal it is for the industry every January. Is it something, guys, that anybody can go to if you can make the time and get yourself to Vegas in January? Can you just get tickets, or do you have to have an industry in to be a part of SHOT Show?
You do. So it's really geared to the manufacturers, distributors, and then dealers. Media and law enforcement also participate. But typically, I think for law enforcement, I don't think you can just kind of show up. You do have to have a registration in advance and, authorization by your department. But there is a heavy, law enforcement and military presence here because there are individuals from even all over the world. We see a lot of foreign military. I saw, special forces from, I think, South America somewhere yesterday here, actually at Starbucks. So, it's incredible the how many people travel across the world, and even manufacturers from Europe and other countries are here as well.
And so one of the stories that I wanted to talk about, and we can actually tie this in to your guys' trip to Vegas and SHOT Show, is something that we deal with here in the state of Missouri, and it's being dealt with by states all across the country, and that's the idea of these gun-free zones. And right now there's a story that you can pull up. I'm looking at it right now. Chad has it pulled up on the computer here in the studio. While you guys were there in Vegas, there was a shooting in the mall down there, which is a gun-free zone. We were just talking last week to some of our friends in the Missouri legislators, some state reps, and that is something that every year the Republicans in the state of Missouri try to pass a bill to eliminate gun-free zones. It hasn't happened yet, but that is far from just a Missouri story. Tell us about what happened there in Vegas. I mean, I'm reading the story, but I think, Jake, you were there when this happened.
Yeah, I was. I happened to be just in a restaurant that's just tied to the mall with a couple manufacturers and some friends in the industry. And we had reports of shots fired and a bunch of police officers outside the restaurant kind of keeping everything the chaos down, and they didn't hear anything until afterwards when we left. They kind of detoured us around to go elsewhere while they were conducting the investigation on what had happened. But, you know, the thing that kind of upsetted me at the time, you know, was the fact that here I am. It could have been super close. And in gun-free zones, people that are going to follow the law don't care.
Right,
it's not a gun-free zone to them, which just means that it's a gun-free zone for me to not legally be able to protect myself.
Right.
In an environment where
criminals don't follow the rules, that's what makes them criminals.
Right. So if it's not a gun-free zone for them, then it's certainly not. I'm just a sitting target at that point. And and thanks for putting me in a position to just be an innocent bystander and a sitting duck for whatever may occur. And you know, the Vegas Police Department did a great job. They were on top of it pretty quick. I think they've made the arrest and some, you know, young adults getting in a skirmish with each other, and guy pulls out a gun. So
yeah, and it was actually gang violence. It was a gang dispute that was going on, and an 18-year-old was arrested on Wednesday on attempted murder charges. But I've got to ask, though, is the state of Nevada as liberal with their gun laws? Like, I mean, of course, we've all seen the signs, gun-free zone, and you don't go back to your vehicle to, you know, put away your concealed carry. Can you carry a gun out there pretty freely or no?
You can. So, like most states, Clark County, which is a county that, you know, Las Vegas sits in, especially more importantly, the Strip, they've got some requirements that you have to go through to be able to carry concealed. And you have to have a special card, and you have to have it listed of the firearms that you have to have. But even inside of that, there's restrictions on the actual Strip itself. So it's kind of a three-tiered program where the rest of the state, you're okay to carry. But if you're in Clark County, then there's extra steps to be able to do that. And then even inside of Clark County, there's areas where they're not permitted.
It's also worth noting that Las Vegas is much more sensitive to firearms now as a result of the shooting a few years back.
Oh, that was horrible, yeah.
So we actually see, you know, moving throughout the casino, and there are, you know, signs pretty much everywhere with casinos for no concealed carry, but even to get to your rooms now, if you have long kind of packages or bags that would, you know, house a firearm or a rifle, they're checking them. I saw the security at the elevators checking somebody's bag, and it was just a slender, narrow, cylindrical bag, and he just had signage in it for the show, you know, but they're, you know, just being cautious as a result of that.
You know, it's ironic that there is a shooting so close to SHOT Show being a big, you know, gun industry event. And it reminds me of another story that happened this week, and that was the big rally, the pro-Second Amendment rally that we saw in the state of Virginia. And there was all these media making a big deal about how extra security was being called in because all of these gun lovers are going to be in one place and how dangerous that could possibly be. And I'm thinking to myself and all the people that know and kind of live in this world and appreciate the Second Amendment and want to support it, know that that's exactly the opposite. That's going to be the safest place to be because the people that truly support the Second Amendment they don't want to go and start trouble with guns because that defeats the purpose of the rally. I thought that was I thought that was really well handled. I think it was mischaracterized by the media. And
it's
if
all
you
about
actually
the hype.
See what was happening there in Virginia for this pro Second Amendment rally, it was very safe. The crowd was very diverse. You know, it wasn't, you know,
huge,
a bunch
yeah.
of white Christian gun, you know, that stereotype that gets stuck on this community sometimes. And it was I thought it was a really cool thing that we watched. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see so much of that
yeah.
while you were in SHOT Show, but do you have any thoughts on that rally in Virginia?
You know, it really illustrated, number one, the media bias. I mean, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Number two, you can see a vast difference in the way conservatives conduct themselves at rallies and the, you know, I would say respect that they have for each other and for the facilities and the locations and the vast difference between them and some of these other groups where we've seen, you know, attempted confrontations from groups like Antifa, even at the Trump rallies, you know, the one up in, I believe it was either Wisconsin or Minnesota. There was some aggression, and you know, the media, I think, was hoping, wishing, crossing their fingers that something would have happened here that would have helped them shape their narrative, and that, you know, would have really let them, I think, try to continue their you know, false branding of you know, Second Amendment supporters, and it didn't happen. It was a very, I think, you know, well-organized group that was there. And I think maybe if there's nothing else that you take away, that, you know, number one, there was no violence. Number two, there were individuals out picking up their trash, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't a feel left in the aftermath, like you've seen at some of these climate change rallies where, you know, they come speaking about climate change and then they just absolutely trash the place and there's plastic and all kinds of debris everywhere on the ground.
Hey, John, have you guys had any protesting out there at SHOT Show? I mean, like outside the building or anything?
We have not seen it. No. And, you know, I think that to some extent, the city helps manage everything. I think that you know, I don't want to say it would be prohibited, but security is high in this area. There's security everywhere. You can't move through this building. You can't get into the show without credentials. They do watch that closely. There is a heavy police presence. There are, you know, police dogs here throughout the area in the show. You see police vehicles, you know, outside of all of the hotels and the convention center. So, you know, they are, you know, obviously keeping safety, you know, at the front of their minds. And I think, you know, that's very important.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on the show. But as I mentioned, we are going to continue this discussion with John and Jake from Osage County Gun, where you're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Wow. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and Bo Matthews in studio and joining us on the phone from SHOT Show are our friends John and Jake from Osage County Guns. We are going to continue this discussion with them from SHOT Show. Big, huge, the biggest probably gun show of the year, really sets the tone every year for what's happening in the industry. And we're just talking off the air a little bit. We're going to actually, after the show ends here today, we are going to record something with John and Jake for the podcast. So we're going to continue this discussion and learn more about what's happening out there at SHOT Show. And you'll be able to, if you download the podcast of the show already, thank you very much. You can do so every week. In fact, we release the podcast of this show before it airs. Of course, you can hear this show on Saturdays on 97.1, on Sundays on KMOX, but the podcast is actually up every Friday, so you can take it with you all weekend. And if you're already downloading the podcast, radio.com app or wherever else you get it from, there'll be another podcast for you this week. It'll be
podcast exclusive.
Yeah, there'll be a podcast exclusive where we'll be talking more about SHOT Show with John and Jake. So you'll have two podcasts to download this week instead of one. So that's really cool.
For those that are hold the Second Amendment very dear to them, it really is about sharing this information. So we really encourage you to share the podcast with fellow like-minded people, because sometimes you won't hear this information on any other place but this show.
And the idea for the podcast was we record this show right before the weekend, and the idea was to not wait and release the podcast until after the show aired, which was kind of traditional radio thinking.
Yeah.
But we know that a lot of our listeners, a lot of the people that like this show, are maybe they are out enjoying the great outdoors on the weekends, and they want to have the podcast. They want to hear what we're talking about, you know, on their time while they're out doing their thing. So that's why we're making the podcast available.
It's
early.
All about on demand.
And now
anymore.
Now you have two. Now you'll have a second one, because we're going to talk to these guys even more. So, like I said, John and Jake are on the phone with us at SHOT Show in Vegas. I do want to touch base on a couple of stories that are happening that are related to gun rights and Second Amendment rights and that sort of stuff. But before we jump into that, we were talking about SHOT Show and what a big deal it is for the industry every January. Is it something, guys, that anybody can go to if you can make the time and get yourself to Vegas in January? Can you just get tickets, or do you have to have an industry in to be a part of SHOT Show?
You do. So it's really geared to the manufacturers, distributors, and then dealers. Media and law enforcement also participate. Typically, I think for law enforcement, I don't think you can just kind of show up. You do have to have a registration in advance and, authorization by your department. But there is a heavy, law enforcement and military presence here, because there are individuals from even all over the world. We see a lot of foreign military. I saw, special forces from, I think, South America somewhere yesterday here.
Wow.
Actually at Starbucks. So, it's incredible how many people travel across the world, and even manufacturers from Europe and other countries are here as well.
And so one of the stories that I wanted to talk about, and we can actually tie this in to your guys' trip to Vegas and SHOT Show, is something that we deal with here in the state of Missouri, and it's being dealt with by states all across the country, and that's the idea of these gun-free zones. And right now there's a story that you can pull up. I'm looking at it right now. Chad has it pulled up on the computer here in the studio. While you guys were there in Vegas, there was a shooting in the mall down there, which is a gun-free zone. We were just talking last week to some of our friends in the Missouri legislators, some state reps, and that is something that every year the Republicans in the state of Missouri try to pass a bill to eliminate gun-free zones. It hasn't happened yet, but that is far from just a Missouri story. Tell us about what happened there in Vegas. I mean, I'm reading the story, but I think, Jake, you were there when this happened.
Yeah, I was. I happened to be just in a restaurant that's just tied to the mall with a couple of manufacturers and some friends in the industry. And we had reports of shots fired and a bunch of police officers outside the restaurant, kind of keeping everything the chaos down, and I didn't hear anything until afterwards when we left. They kind of detoured us around to go elsewhere while they were conducting the investigation on what had happened. But the thing that upset me at the time, was the fact that here I am. It could have been super close. And in gun-free zones, people that are going to follow the law don't care.
Right.
It's not a gun-free zone to them, which just means that it's a gun-free zone for me to not legally be able to protect myself.
Right.
In an environment where
criminals don't follow the rules. That's what makes them criminals.
Right. So if it's not a gun-free zone for them, then it's certainly not. I'm just a sitting target at that point. And thanks for putting me in a position to just be an innocent bystander in a sitting duck for whatever may occur. And, the Vegas Police Department did a great job. They were on top of it pretty quick. I think they'd made the arrest, and some young adults getting in a skirmish with each other and guy pulls out a gun. So
yeah, and it was actually gang violence. It was a gang dispute that was going on, and an 18-year-old was arrested on Wednesday on attempted murder charges. But I've got to ask, though, is the state of Nevada as liberal with their gun laws? Like, I mean, of course, we've all seen the signs, gun-free zone, and you don't go back to your vehicle to, you know, put away your concealed carry. Can you carry a gun out there pretty freely or no?
You can. So, like most states, Clark County, which is a county that, you know, Las Vegas sits in, especially more importantly, the Strip, they've got some requirements that you have to go through to be able to carry concealed. And you have to have a special card, and you have to have it listed at the firearms that you have to have. But even inside of that, there's restrictions on the actual Strip itself. So it's kind of a three-tiered program where the rest of the state, you're okay to carry. But if you're in Clark County, then there's extra steps to be able to do that. And then even inside of Clark County, there's areas where they're not permitted.
It's also worth noting that Las Vegas is much more sensitive to firearms now as a result of the shooting a few years back.
Oh, that was horrible, yeah.
So we actually see, you know, moving throughout the casino, and there are, you know, signs pretty much everywhere with the casinos for no concealed carry, but even to get to your rooms now, if you have long kind of packages or bags that would, you know, house a firearm or a rifle, they're checking them. I saw the security at the elevators checking somebody's bag, and it was just a slender, narrow, cylindrical bag, and he just had signage in it for the show. You know, but they're, you know, just being cautious as a result of that.
You know, it's ironic that there is a shooting so close to SHOT Show being a big, you know, gun industry event. And it reminds me of another story that happened this week, and that was the big rally, the pro-Second Amendment rally that we saw in the state of Virginia. And there was all these media making a big deal about how extra security was being called in because all of these gun lovers are going to be in one place and how dangerous that could possibly be. And I'm thinking to myself and all the people that know and kind of live in this world and appreciate the Second Amendment and want to support it, know that that's exactly the opposite. That's going to be the safest place to be because the people that truly support the Second Amendment, they don't want to go and start trouble with guns because that defeats the purpose of the rally. I thought that was I thought that was really well handled. I think it was mischaracterized by the media.
And
if you actually see what was happening there in Virginia for this pro-Second Amendment rally, it was very safe. The crowd was very diverse. You know, it wasn't, you know,
huge,
a bunch of white Christian gun, that stereotype that gets stuck on this community sometimes. And it was I thought it was a really cool thing that we watched. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see so much of that while you were in SHOT Show, but do you have any thoughts on that rally in Virginia?
You know, it really illustrated number one, the media bias. I mean, it was amazing. Number two, you can see a vast difference in the way conservatives conduct themselves at rallies and the, you know, I would say respect that they have for each other and for the facilities and the locations and the vast difference between them and some of these other groups where we've seen, you know, attempted confrontations from groups like Antifa, even at the Trump rallies, you know, the one up in, I believe it was either Wisconsin or Minnesota. There was some aggression, and you know, the media, I think, was hoping, wishing, crossing their fingers that something would have happened here that would have helped them shape their narrative, and that, you know, would have really let them, I think, try to continue their you know, false branding of you know, Second Amendment supporters, and it didn't happen. It was a very, I think. You know, a well-organized group that was there. And I think maybe if there's nothing else that you take away, that, you know, number one, there was no violence. Number two, there were individuals out picking up their trash. You know,
yeah.
There wasn't a feeling left in the aftermath, like you've seen in some of these climate change rallies where, you know, they come speaking about climate change and then they just absolutely trash the place and there's plastic and all kinds of debris everywhere on the ground.
Hey, John, have you guys had any protesting out there at SHOT Show? I mean, like outside the building or anything?
We have not seen it. Yeah. And, you know, I think that to some extent, the city helps manage everything. I think that, you know, I don't want to say it would be prohibited, but security is high in this area. There's security everywhere. You can't move through this building. You can't get into the show without credentials. They do watch that closely. There is a heavy police presence. There are, you know, police dogs here throughout the area in the show. You see police vehicles, you know, outside of all of the hotels and the convention center. So, you know, they are, you know, obviously keeping safety, you know, at the front of their minds. And I think, you know, that's very important.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on the show. But as I mentioned, we are going to continue this discussion with John and Jake from Osage County Guns. They are at SHOT Show in Vegas. And we are going to continue this discussion on the podcast. So when you download this week's show on the radio.com app, make sure you download this second podcast that we are about to do. And also don't forget to get out to Wright City, Missouri and check out Osage County Guns, 6,000 square foot retail store, huge, beautiful store, great selection of firearms and accessories and all the gear you need. They've got it all. You can also check out their website, osagecountyguns.com. So when you're done listening to this, download the podcast exclusive, and we're going to get into some of the details of what is happening at SHOT Show, some of the new items that are coming out, some of the new products, and the trends that are happening in the gun industry right now. We're going to continue that discussion on the podcast. We hope you join us over there. That's going to do it for this week's show. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening. We will see you back here next weekend for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.